a few passages, and then perhaps later turn to more passages. But now, the desire of Moses, the man of God, and others like him, to be shown the glory of God. 33 of Exodus, starting at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his minister Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tent. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found favor in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Will you remember that, please? And compare it with what I read to you in verse 11. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Understand that that is not literal, because God himself tells us in this verse, he said, thou canst not see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand until I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, look at verse 5. And the Lord descended, 34 verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Now, Numbers 12, which will suffice for now. Numbers 12, verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tent of meeting. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they came both forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even manifestly, and not in dark speeches. And the form of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we have read of wondrous things that occurred in the past. We are thankful that you recorded these things for us. our God. We have read that apart from us, these Old Testament saints would not be made perfect. Yet our God, in their imperfection, we see a familiarity with thee that is foreign to most of us today. Our God, we pray that this shall not be so. We pray, our Lord, that something of the joy that was that of Moses and others like him shall be ours today. Hast thou not said in thy word, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you also, that ye also may have fellowship with us? Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our God, we pray that we shall enjoy this fellowship that is our portion in Christ. For the blessings of the day, we thank you, and for those of us who are together tonight to sing, to fellowship, to listen to thy word. So feed thy lambs and thy sheep, empower lips and prepare hearts, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I confess at the very beginning that the experience that I read of Moses has not been my experience. But I hasten to add, it probably has not been your experience either. Think of what Moses experienced and what brought it about. It is not as Abraham, who, we're not told, besought God to reveal himself to him, but he appeared unto him in Ur of the Chaldees. But God, having revealed himself at the first to Moses, now Moses wants to know more about this God whom he is to serve. And so for that reason, the message tonight is about Moses, the man of God, and others like him who desire to be shown the glory of God. Now, I wonder if that's your desire. You say, why, of course it is. I wonder. I can pick out a few in the scriptures who had that desire. I could speak not only of Moses, but I could tell you about David, and I could tell you about
the Greeks
in John chapter 12 who came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And so there have been those like Moses and David
and also
the sons of Korah who had a desire to see the glory of God. But I am wondering if I am lacking in this area because of some imperfection in the fellowship that I have with my Father. This is what I mean. When the Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 5, told Peter to put out into the deep and let down his nets for a draught of fish, and he did it, and a great number of fish was encompassed, and when Peter saw it, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Think of that. Here is the Lord Jesus in the presence of Peter, and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And it may very well be that the reason that you do not desire to see the glory of God, as Moses did, is that there is something in you that is not as yet right with God. You're a Christian, yes, but you are not as yet in that condition of soul that you can feel at ease in the presence of God. In fact, The nearest thing to desiring to see the glory of God collectively is when we come to the remembrance meeting. And I've spoken to supposed
giants in the world that want to preach His word, to evangelize.
Invite them to a remembrance meeting, and you will discover that they are spiritual pygmies. Why? Because they know nothing about desiring to see the glory of the Lord. Oh, I'm ready to go and preach the gospel the whole world to every creature. Yes. But are you able to come and sit quietly for an hour to behold the glory of the Lord? But they're uncomfortable. And I know some dear, conscientious, zealous ones that never seem to be able to comprehend the nature of a remembrance meeting. That it is to behold Him, to remember Him, to remember Him in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup, to think on Me, in words of Joseph. Some are never at ease there, and so for that reason, when they sit in the presence of God, they do not know how to behold the glory of God. Let me give you the testimony of the sons of Korah. This is what they said. We have thought on Thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of Thy temple. You say, well, what is so thrilling about that? There is nothing more thrilling than that the people of God, in a place set aside for the glory of God, to think on God's loving kindness with the people of God in the midst of the temple or where two or three are gathered together. But to show you that this is strange, why are there more at 11 o'clock than at the remembrance meeting? For that reason. And why, when people come to the remembrance meeting, is there so little participation, so little entering in and understanding the significance of the remembrance meeting? Because perhaps they become afraid, as Peter did, when the holiness and the purity and the glory of the Lord Jesus are dwelt upon,
and they are aware
of their sinfulness. This should not be, but alas, it is. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 11 that we are to examine ourselves, and just as the Greeks went up to Jerusalem before the feast to purify themselves, so we purify ourselves by confession and by being made acceptable in God's sight by prayer. And we come into God's presence, and then we should desire, as the sons of Korah, in that hour, to think on God's loving kindness, and now on the fullness of the Son of God who He sent from heaven to us. That should be our desire. And it is the desire of some, but it is not the desire of others. Now, I enjoy it, but I confess this. In this past year, have you said, oh God, the thing that I desire most of all is to look at You
and to have You reveal Your glory to me.
I desire it as much as Moses did. I wonder if one of us ever said that. And since we have not said it, is there any wonder that we have not experienced it? And then if we did say it, why do we want to behold the glory of God? That one like Moses did behold the glory of God, and one like David had that desire in his heart, and he beheld the glory of God.
And let me tell you this, I only remember it being told me
years and years ago, and I know none of the facts, but I will put it this way, that there was this dear sister in Christ, a missionary, and as I recall, she was depressed and downhearted to such a degree that she was filled with despair. And at that time, she heard one word, child. And she understood that it was the voice of God You say, this woman who gave her life to the Lord, and the only thing she ever heard in her whole life long was one word. Have you ever heard one word spoken by God? Have you? I venture to say no. But this woman who dedicated her life to God in her despair, it evidently was necessary that she hear the voice of God. And she heard the word, child. Not her name, but at least if he said, child. Perhaps my child. God acknowledged her as his own. And that was all that was necessary. And she never heard anything like that again. So such things today, because I believe that testimony, such things today can happen. But there are some who are the worst kind of Christians. Selfish, carnal, thinking only of themselves, displaying the flesh. And this Christian tells me, why, when I go to bed at night, Jesus comes and sits beside my bed. He talks to me, things like that. Oh, I see him all the time. Jesus, so I have no faith whatsoever in what this sister in Christ is telling me. But I do believe what that other sister said. And so I'm afraid that many of these charismatics that talk about how Jesus comes to them and how they see Jesus and he sits beside them,
such a thing is possible. But I venture to say
that if they had such an experience, then it would show upon their faces as it showed upon Moses' face. It said that when Moses came out from the presence of God, his face shone. And why is it that if these who say, I see God, and Jesus comes and visits me and talks to me all the time, how is it that they know so little about God? How is it that they are so little conformed to the image of God?
But understand this. Our desire
should be that of Moses and that of Christ. This is what our Savior said just before he was crucified. He said to his disciples, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And so there was desire in the heart of the Lord Jesus, who was the image of God, to fellowship with his disciples. But there was no desire in them to fellowship with him. An argument arose. Who among them was the greatest? And the Lord Jesus had to lay aside his garments and gird himself with a towel and wash their feet. But the Savior said, with desire have I desired. And so for that reason, I would instill in my heart the exhortation to desire to behold the glory of God. Listen to what David says in Psalm 27. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to look upon the Lord and to search out the things of the Lord. That was his desire.
And the sons of Korah also said this when they were in the presence of God.
It said, a day in thy presence is better than a thousand. And try to get the people of God faithfully to come out and intensely enjoy beholding the Lord Jesus for 1 hour. And the Lord Jesus would say to most of us, and he said to Peter, who had boasted his great faithfulness to the Savior, he said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, I confess this, that I have a desire, and I pray to God this desire, that if my Lord does not come, and I have to go to him through death, I've said, Lord, this is my desire. Let me have the experience that Stephen had in Acts chapter 7. Do you remember that? As Stephen was dying, it said he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. If, when I leave this world and go into the next, that is my beatific
vision, then I assure you that I will say farewell to earth and will have no regrets.
But most of us are this way. Death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's spoken of as the king of terrors, and we are terrorized. Whereas some like Paul and David can say, I will fear no evil. And Paul could say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But God can impart that desire that has been prayed for, and this also is what I've desired. It says in Luke chapter 21, but watch it every season, making supplication that you may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass,
and to stand before the Son of Man. But there should be in us now that desire to see the glory of God. It should be. And though it is not, it is expected of us. I want to tell you these verses of Scripture showing us that not in the same way that Moses did, but as Moses did,
we are not only permitted, but expected to behold the glory of God. Listen. Concerning the nation of Israel, a veil lies over them.
But it says concerning us Christians, that we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord,
are transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Lord, the Spirit. Now, do you understand what that says?
It says that we are to behold the glory of the Lord.
And it says, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into the same image. Then, what is the image of God? It is the glory of God, His manifest excellence. And when Moses said, show me thy glory, understand that God said, I will cause all my goodness to pass before thee. And so God's glory is His manifest excellence, His goodness, and then His goodness and His excellence can be broken down into various things. And this is what God spoke to Moses and what He revealed to him. When Moses said, show me thy glory, and God said, I will cause all my goodness to pass before thee. So think now. It may be that perhaps God and His goodness, if we desire as Moses did, if with all our hearts we truly seek Him,
it said, you shall surely find Him.
It may be that if we desire, perhaps someday, if not like Moses, we shall hear
one word. Child, that would be worth a lifetime of desire and seeking after God, to hear the voice of God. But listen concerning Moses. I want you to understand that God
is invisible and He is unreachable. He reveals Himself to man. Man does not, by seeking independently of the Spirit, find God. But God said, I will cause all my glory to pass before thee, my goodness, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Then this invisible God says, I shall become visible. I will cause all my goodness to pass before thee. And so Moses can see something of God. And he said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. He could hear the voice of God. And so, how marvelous a thing if we heard God speak our name. And God did do that. He said, Moses, Moses. And the little boy, Samuel, Samuel. God spoke the names of some. And Moses said, why, you told me that you knew me by name. Why? He heard God call him by name. And there was that interest in Moses to see God, an interest in things. Most Christians aren't interested. But perhaps we would be if God caught our attention the way he did Moses in the burning bush.
Moses was out on the backside of the desert,
and he saw that bush burning, burning, but it wasn't consumed. And he said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not consumed. And when God saw that he turned aside, that is where the communion began between Moses and God. And then it went progressively. It became more and more. And just as Abraham is called the friend of God, it says, God spoke to Moses face to face as a man does with his friend. And therefore, God regarded Moses as his friend as well and spoke to him. Now think of this. God walks us by the reading of the scriptures and by a determined effort, a purposeful determination to see God, to behold God, and in beholding him, become like that which we see. It says in the book of Hosea that those carnal Israelites, they became like that which they beheld. And we become like that which we behold. God wants to be beheld, and he says, I will be found of them that seek me. And at least in this respect, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I am permitted to behold the glory of God. And as I behold the glory of God, there is a progressive likeness to the image of God, that glory, from glory to glory. You say, then, if I do not have the good fortune of Moses to have the Lord show me visibly and to speak audibly his glory, then at least through the scriptures and by contemplation, I am able to behold the glory of God and to become like that vision which I see as I contemplate him. And that is the promise of God. This is what it says. It says in Colossians chapter 3, it said, you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. You were raised with Christ. And since you were raised with Christ, it says, seek those things that are above. Set your affection, your mind on things above. You set it. It's not something that happens. You set your affection on things above. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, consider him, it says, looking unto Jesus. And so there is a purposeful looking unto Jesus. Consider him. Behold his glory. And this is what God tells us should be our occupation. And if we set our affection on things above and we see him, then we will become like those things above. And if we set our affection on the glory of God and our inmost desire is to behold that glory, then God will show us his glory in the way that he is showing his glory today. And I do not set aside the possibility of hearing one word and maybe more. God has his special ones. In the time of wickedness, when the earth was to be destroyed with a flood, it says Enoch walked with God. And before there was any translation of the saints even thought of, it said God translated him because he had been well-pleasing to God. Simeon had it revealed unto him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so I do not know what is possible today, but I want truth, and I do not want pretension and carnality and all of this saying that I know God and I see God and I'm intimate with God and he speaks with me. And the very things that they tell you God said to them are contradiction to what he said through the Holy Spirit in this inspired word. Something is entirely wrong. But we can see Jesus, and that is our desire. So notice, first of all, there is that progressive beholding the glory, and then becoming more like that glory which we behold. I want to tell you other things. I promise you that you may behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord now, but I make you this promise that in the future you shall behold the glory of the Lord with your eyes, not through a mirror, but you shall behold him and you shall see his face. I promise you that. The Lord Jesus said in John 17, he said, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And do you think that God is going to deny the prayer of his Son, that those that the Father had given him be with him where he is? And when we are there, he said, I want you to show them my glory. They saw the Lord Jesus in his humiliation, and a few for an hour saw him in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. But the promise of God is that we shall all see him in his glory in the future, in the fullness of his glory. And I promise you this, because God tells us it so. Concerning the servant of God, it says that his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their forehead. And so I serve God now, but in the coming day I shall serve him in a more perfect way, in a purer way, and I shall see his face, and his name shall be impressed upon me. And that is something that I promise you also, that you shall not only see him in his glory, but you shall be like him in his glory. It said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And I promise you that in that coming day, you shall not only behold the Lord in his glory, but you shall be like the Lord in his glory. And God tells us this, as we have borne the image of the earthy, so also we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And what is that image? It is that which God has predestinated. It says, whom God foreknew, that he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And as Christ is, so shall we be. And that glory that we are to behold our whole life long on earth now, in that coming day, we shall behold that glory. And when we see him as he is, there will no longer be impurity and fear because of his purity, but there will be that capacity and that desire to behold him, because we shall be like him. Moses and others like him, desiring to see the glory of God, let us begin now, because ultimately it shall be our portion. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know how much ugliness we have seen in the world because of sin. And let us know that how much carnality we have seen among the children of God because of sin. But we confess, our Father, that there could be less of that, and we know likeness to Christ.
So would you help us, our Father, to have that desire to set our affection on things above, to consider him, to look unto Jesus, as the Greeks to say, we would see Jesus. And beholding him, Father, let us become like him. Let us be the men and women of God you would have us to be, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.